Please welcome our Barbara Christensen.
Who's the postmaster?
Okay. I need to see the light.
I see the light.
Okay, is that too bright?
I see the light.
That's the one we didn't do tonight.
We'll do it yet.
Okay. I wasn't sure what this talk was going to be about, and last night I went out with a friend to see the musical Hairspray, but the musical wasn't about hairspray, although it was interesting. They were spraying it all over the stage, and you could smell it all the way up in the balconies, and I said to my friend, you know, I really should be home working on my talk, and he's like, oh, they'll love anything you do, and so here I'm hoping he's right. So I woke up this morning and I was in such a great mood, and I stepped outside and the sun was shining and yet the air was kind of cool, which is my favorite kind of weather, you know, the sun, but you know, it's just refreshing. And I had a pretty good day at work, and then I had a disappointment. And you know, I think probably everybody here has probably had a disappointment today or in the last few days. Disappointments are what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. And you know, we're often disappointed with friends and family, and we're often disappointed with ourselves, and it's probably kind of a taboo to be disappointed with God. But you know what? From time to time, if we're honest, we're all disappointed with God. And I see a few heads nodding. And in the Bible, you know, there's a lot of these great verses that teach us to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love our neighbor as we love God. And, you know, the implication is that you can learn about how to love and be in relationship with God by being in relationship with your friends and neighbors and family. And it's our friends and neighbors and family that often disappoint us. And, you know, if this is our classroom for building this relationship with God, then it's probably a little bit of a stretch, but at the same time, very real that it's okay, it's normal, it's very human to be disappointed with God. In the book of John, there's a verse that says, you cannot love God whom you do not see unless you love your brother that you see. Well, you know, I can look at my brother who owes me money and I can be disappointed in him. And I can look at other people that I try and love as close to unconditionally as possible, and yet they let me down. And these are the very real examples that we have in front of us of working on relationship and working on this love, give and take. And that's a classroom that we've been given here on the earth plane, but it's also a classroom where we end up frustrated and disappointed, and oftentimes it's we direct that at ourselves. I wanted to bring a little humor to this talk too, because that to me that helps me get through life. And I have this crazy little bracelet on today, and it's got all these little shrunken heads. And the artist who made it called the Shrunken Ex-Boyfriend Bracelet. And you know, if I count all of these, I could assign a name of a man who's disappointed me. But at the same time, I can look at it and say, you know what? I can think back to the joy I had with so many ex-boyfriends, and I can also see, you know, that there were lessons in those relationships. But at the same time, if I look at a couple key relationships, I can realize that not only was I disappointed with a few men along the way, I turned my anger and disappointment to God. You know, I invested 5 years in a relationship, and I ended up alone. I invested time and energy and love and money with another relationship, and I ended up alone. And it's real easy to say, God, you know, why did you put this person in my life? And here I am with another notch on my bracelet. But it fits just right, so I'm not going to add anymore. But another example of a kind of a major disappointment with between me and God was my brother Bob, and I've talked about him before. He was diagnosed with brain cancer, gosh, in 1987, so 20 years ago now, and was supposed to die within 6 months. He did live another 10 years. But 10 years ago, when he was actually dying, I was shaking my fist, saying, God, you know what? You gave us all these other things, and we got 10 more years, so why can't you just keep doing it? And that was my mentality. That was my so-called prayer, instead of saying, thank you for this 10 years that we got as a family with my brother that we wouldn't have had otherwise if we hadn't had faith, if we hadn't turned to him in prayer, if we hadn't united as a family. And, you know, I'm going to talk a little, touch on the theme family a couple times tonight, because we are a spiritual family, we're a human family, we're a family that is really, Millie calls it the cells, or we're little bubbles in the, you know, the body of God, and indeed we are. And there's disease, and there's heartache, and there's parts of our family right here in San Diego, as well as in the Middle East and everywhere else, where we're disappointing each other, and we're disappointing the parts of us that are godly. We're letting each other down. I want to share with you again from John chapter 11, because it turns out people, you know, Christ was this great man, God in flesh, walking on earth, and yet people were disappointed in Jesus sometimes. And here's a great example. It's around the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And when Lazarus was really sick, this is what transpired. It says, do you remember Mary, who poured the costly perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair? Well, her brother Lazarus, who lived in Bethany with Mary and her sister Martha, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, sir, your good friend is very, very sick. We need you. Come on. And so then it goes on to say, although Jesus was very fond of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for another 2 days. In the meantime, his good friend was dying. And so finally, after 2 days, he says to the disciples, come on, let's pack up, let's go see Lazarus. And they arrive, and Mary and Martha see him coming. And it says that Martha went to Jesus first, and she said, sir, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I'm disappointed in you. You let us down. You're our good friend. Where were you? And it goes on and says, and even now it's too late. And Jesus said, but your brother will come back to life again. And Martha says, probably with a little frustration in her voice, sure he will, when everyone else does on Resurrection Day. I mean, you know, she's perturbed. So then Jesus told her, I'm the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, even though he dies like anyone else, shall live again. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, she says, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one we have waited for so long. And it goes on to say, then she left, and out comes Mary. And Mary comes up to him and says, you know what? Sir, if you had been here, my brother would still be alive, you know? So you know those two sisters for a couple days were sitting there saying, you know, we're disappointed. He should have been here. You know, he let us down. And oftentimes we feel like our prayers aren't answered. We feel like God and Christ, you know, however you want to put the language on it, that we're not getting our prayers answered. I have a 5-year-old and 3-year-old, and yesterday the 5-year-old who is expanding her vocabulary, which is great. I told her something she couldn't do, and she said, I'm very annoyed with you. And it was all I could do not to burst out laughing, because I'm mad at you, but it was like the first time I heard annoyed come from her lips, and I just thought that was so darn cute. And I was thinking, you know, that's probably how God feels when we're upset with him, because as the parent yesterday, I knew what our constraints were. I knew what was best for my child. And, you know, and at the same time, I wanted to giggle, which would have made her more annoyed. And I think probably God sometimes wants to giggle too. I think sometimes God is just like, you know, if you just wait, just as Jesus is trying to tell Mary and Martha, if you just wait, I got something even better for you. But you got to trust that I'm I got a little more knowledge. So I think even though we're adults, oftentimes we are indeed the five-year-olds who are stomping our feet and saying we're annoyed. Disappointment with God is part of the give and take of faith. And just as a real test of a friendship is to work through the times when somebody disappoints us and to get to that healing and that forgiving place, that's kind of what we have to do with God, because we aren't all-knowing. We don't have all the information. We don't love as purely as God loves us. So we're limited in our humanness. And yet, the whole leap of faith thing is about saying to oneself, you know what, it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to take a deep breath and then say, you know what, I still know God loves me. And with a five-year-old, it takes a couple hours to come back and say, I still love you. But, you know, maybe whatever the situation is, if we have this conscious knowledge, we can move that healing process a little bit quicker. One thing we can do to shorten or help alleviate disappointment with God is to not tempt others to be disappointed as well. You know, it's real easy to, at work or with our friends, you know, just go on and on about all of the things that aren't really working. And so then it's easy for them to say, gosh, you know, yeah, where is God in this situation? And you can watch the nightly news and feel yourself pulled down as well and say, where's God in stopping this war? Where's God in helping us all get along? So focusing on the positive and keeping your own stuff to yourself, if you will, not that it's really to yourself, but it's between you and God, it's kind of like being asked not to air all of your dirty laundry, because eventually the laundry's going to get washed. Eventually it's all going to be great again. Another thing to do, and where's Diana? There she is. Count our blessings. Diana, I always roll my eyes when she asks for the song, Count Your Blessings, because it has so many verses. But you know what? We can never hear it too many times that we are so incredibly blessed. And that if we start counting those or writing them down or just reviewing them in our mind, we can focus on all the blessings that we do receive from God. And we can let the disappointments just kind of evaporate away. Here's the hardest one, I think. We need to stop being so disappointed in ourselves. Gosh, if even Jesus Christ disappointed his friends, we're going to disappoint others. We're going to disappoint ourselves. We're going to fall short of the mark. And we're not going to get closer to our goals and closer to modeling love as God would have us do until we get over ourselves, if you will, and just get on with it. I stumbled across a book. I didn't have time to read the book, so I read and I stumbled across the name of a book, that's more accurate, called Disappointment with God. And it was written by a guy named Philip Yancey. And you're familiar with it? Okay. Did you talk about it? And I'm, okay. So I didn't have time to read the book, so I read an interview with him, which I thought was still pretty informative. And he said, you know, if you look at the Old Testament, where a lot of people turn to the Psalms, you know, because they can be so comforting, and we say one of the Psalms every Wednesday night here, and there are words of comfort, but he's actually analyzed them, and he said a third of them focus on disappointment with God. And he says, this third will say, hey God, I thought we had a deal. Why are these bad things happening? I followed your will, and yet I'm surrounded by enemies. My life is caving in. It's not fair. And they look around and they say, the world's not fair. And you know what? The world isn't fair. It isn't. That my brother died at age 37, that doesn't feel fair. That somebody like Mary is in a coma for 2 years, it's not fair. That there's people in New Orleans who still don't have homes, who can't find jobs, who, you know, it's not fair. There's a lot of things that aren't fair. And looking back at the Old Testament again, there's also the story of Job. And Job, life wasn't fair for him. You know, evidently he had 10 kids, and he was very wealthy. He lost it all. He lost his 10 kids, his health, his wealth. And it says he was sat there scratching himself with shards of pottery. I don't know if that's true, but that's what this Philip Yancey guy says. All he had left was a wife and 3 friends. His wife sat in the corner and said, "Give up, Job. Curse God and die." She wasn't much help. The 3 friends sat around trying to prove to Job that it was his fault that he was suffering. They told him, "Job, God is punishing you because of something bad that you have done." Well, Job just sat there. And ultimately, Job came to realize that life isn't fair, but his relationship with God was independent of his circumstances. There were 2 different things. And that's kind of what we're all trying to do, is learn that even when we have these disappointments, our relationship with God is on this other plane. God doesn't want us to experience these bad things. God wants us to believe that there are better things coming, and that just like Jesus helped Lazarus walk out of the tomb and be raised from the dead, you know, we are going to have better days ahead. And I'm not, you know, in this church we don't talk about, you know, there's just one salvation and one death. We believe in reincarnation, and we believe that every day we have an opportunity to reconnect with God. And the thing about Job was that he gained a faith that couldn't be shaken because he was so badly shaken in his lives. And all of us can look at people who have a situation far worse than our own, and yet we focus on our own, you know. And that's normal. That's human. That's where we are, and that's where we're learning the lessons. What else have I got here? Philip Yancey tells one more story about a man who suffers a lot. He said he was trying to find a modern-day Job, somebody who really was going through some stuff. And so he turned to his friend, who his wife had cancer and was getting worse. And then the man and his wife and their daughter were all in a car accident, and they were all injured. And then other things happened. And when Mr. Yancey said to this friend, you know, "How are you carrying on?" He said, "Well, I realized that there is a separation. There is a separation between what happens in life and my relationship with God." And he said, through all of this, he said, "I've actually been healed. You can't see all of the healing on the outside, but it's there on the inside." And I think that's so much of our healing. You know, my brother, at the time of his crossing, 10 years of struggling with cancer, you know, his soul knew it was time. Selfishly, we wanted to keep him, but all of his healing had occurred. He was ready to let go and go on to that next classroom. So, we look at Ruthie as an example of physical healing and perseverance. We look at somebody like Mary, and we send prayers and we take joy in just these small little gains of maybe her moving some fingers. But we don't know. Maybe all the healing that's needed is really going on inside, far beyond what we can see. I'm still going to be disappointed. Different things will bother me. I may even date another man. Who knows? Maybe with a different outcome this time. You never know. What? more little skulls. But the main thing is that I have come to know, in my 17 years of being here on Wednesday night and being at the Sunday church and being with my spiritual family, I've come to know that I don't know how to turn off the light. I've come to know that I am so blessed to have a spiritual family, and I'm so blessed to have the knowledge that there is no death, and I'm so blessed, and I use this example too with my own girls. I so wanted children in my 30s. I was going to handsome strangers saying, "Will you donate the sperm?" Nobody donated. But you know, later on in my 40s, far after I had let go of that dream, through adoption and a series of circumstances, I ended up with two little girls in my life. God had something in mind far better than I could have dreamed, because as a part-time parent, I can still have this part of my life. I can juggle a lot of things that I might not have been able to do if I'd had children earlier. And just as Lazarus was raised, something better was around the corner. And I just encourage all of you to keep the faith that tomb door will be open and revealed to you. Thank you for this time.
Thank you, Barbara.